to discover new lessons from well-known Bible stories is to view those same stories from a different perspective. You know, most of us at some time in our life, you know, we've had to look at things differently. You know, maybe we went along and we've thought about and seen things or perhaps imagined things to be in such a fashion, in such a way. But then if we look at them differently, take a different perspective, we find out that maybe we were wrong. Maybe we were not understanding. Perhaps even looking at something differently will cause us to change the direction in which we're going. What do we usually talk about when we're studying the story concerning Joseph? Most of us think about the coat of many colors. You know, many of the young children are taught in Bible class from the very beginning about Joseph and his coat of many colors. We also understand that Joseph's brothers didn't think very highly of Joseph. In fact, they were very jealous of Joseph. They were jealous because their father, Jacob, loved him so much. And it even says that he loved him above all of his other sons. His brothers hated him. And you remember Joseph having a dream about the sheaves? Do you remember when he told his brothers about that dream that his sheaves stood up, but all the others bowed down before him? Oh, how that turned his brothers against him. Who are you, you little pipsqueak, saying that we're going to bow down and worship you? If it hadn't been for Reuben, they would have killed Joseph. But instead, we know that he was sold into slavery into Egypt. And most of you know the rest of the story. But now, instead of focusing on how Joseph was impacted, what if we would learn and consider how his brothers were impacted. So this morning I would like for us to see what we can learn about Joseph's brothers. Now Joseph's story through the eyes of his brothers, the story of providence that turned into guilt. Providence with Joseph, guilt for his brothers. While Joseph was tormented by his brothers' hatred, his servitude, and even his imprisonment, through all of that, Joseph's brothers were tormented by guilt. Genesis chapter 42, verses 21 and 22. And they said one to another, "We are verily guilty concerning our brother, in that we saw the anguish of his soul when he besought us, and we would not hear. Therefore is this distress come upon us." And Reuben answered them, saying, spake I not unto you, saying, do not sin against the child, and you would not hear? Therefore, behold, also his blood is required. And they knew not that Joseph understood them. You know, this is when they came from Canaan, seeking food because of the famine. For he spake unto them by an interpreter. They went to Egypt to buy corn. But you know what Joseph did? He knew that they were his brothers. But he accused them of being spies. That's what's going on here. And then we can read in Genesis 44 and verse 16, and Judah said, what shall we say unto my Lord? What shall we speak, or how shall we clear ourselves? God hath found out the iniquity of thy servants. And here, again, he's talking about, just as before in the other verses, in Genesis 42, 21 and 20, 21 and 22, they're talking about what they did to poor young Joseph. God hath found out the iniquity of thy servant. Behold, we are my Lord's servants, both we and he also with whom the cup is found. You remember what happened? Joseph had taken and put all of the food that they could carry and their money back in their sacks, and they were heading back to Canaan. But you know what he did? I believe it was in Benjamin's sack, the youngest. Put a silver cup in there. And this is what the cup is being referenced to here. But Judah, he pleaded with Joseph to let Benjamin go. Let him go back to his father. And if you read and you study what's taking place here, he's basically saying, if Benjamin does not go back, it's going to kill our father. And then Joseph couldn't contain it anymore, because he had just heard that his father was still alive. Now, from this perspective, we have an entirely different lesson from the story of Joseph. Because many times the story of Joseph is about his coat of many collars and how his father loved him above all of his brothers, and how Joseph, his father loved him more than the others because he was the son of his old age. So let's talk about this. We see here that Joseph's brothers were kind of feeling guilty for what they had done. So how do we overcome guilt? How do we overcome the guilt that we may have in our own lives? First of all, I believe if we want to overcome our guilt, we need to repent. And we need to confess our sins. Psalms 32 verse 5, I acknowledge my sin unto thee. Seems pretty simple and straightforward, doesn't it? I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. You know, too many times we try to hide, you know, behind, hide our sin behind perhaps thinking, well, it wasn't so bad. I didn't harm anybody. Or I didn't have really a bad motive in my heart when I did it. Too many times we try to hide behind our sin. But notice here, in mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. And thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Brothers and sisters, if we want to free ourselves from guilt, if we want to free ourselves from the iniquity of sin, then we must acknowledge our sin. Then we can read in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9, if we confess our sins, all right, confess, literally to acknowledge. If we confess or acknowledge our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Not just some, but all. You know, that little three-letter word, all, encompasses everything. If we tell our children to pick up all of the things that you've put on the floor, all your toys, pick them all up, how many of them do we expect to be left on the floor? Absolutely none. So when John writes here, if we confess our sins, if we acknowledge our sins, if we are feeling guilty because of sin, then to overcome that guilt, we must acknowledge that we have sinned. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all. Too many times we put a limit on God's forgiveness, don't we? My sin was so bad, I just simply cannot comprehend that God will ever forgive me for that horrible sin that I have committed. Then we're calling the Apostle John a liar. And most of all, we're calling Jesus' blood inefficient to cleanse all transgressions. How do we overcome guilt? By repenting and confessing our sins. And to go along with that, we must accept God's forgiveness. What do you think about that? Not only should we confess and repent of our sins, but we must accept God's forgiveness. Romans chapter 8, verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation. No condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. That word there, condemnation, literally is penalty. So look at it like this. There is therefore now no penalty to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. How many of us are willing to accept the forgiveness that God has offered? If we have the idea that God cannot forgive my sin because it was such a horrendous, horrible sin, then we are refusing to accept that forgiveness. If we want to rid ourselves of guilt, then we must accept the forgiveness that God offers. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 14. Paul here writes, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. Now, do you read anywhere in that verse what sins God will not forgive? In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. So to rid ourselves of guilt, we need to repent and confess our sins. And then we need to accept the forgiveness that we have in the blood of Christ. And then, and maybe not most importantly, but it's very high up on the list, we need to reject the devil's lies and believe the truth. The truth is, what John say in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, that he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But the problem is, many times we believe the devil's lie. Well, your sin is just so great that, you know, God's not going to forgive you. Many people believe that. Revelation chapter 12, verse 10. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. Did you catch that phrase there? And the power of Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. Do you realize what this one single verse is saying? That Satan, the old devil, at one time he had a right to accuse us. But you know what? Now he doesn't. If we're in Christ, Satan has no power over us. He cannot accuse us of anything because our sin, our guilt has been taken away. Isn't that wonderful? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. He is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are new. If we're in Christ, we're new. We're a new creature. All of the old sins are gone. And John tells us in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, meaning even after our initial baptism, our initial forgiveness of sin, and we go on through the rest of our life and we stumble and we fall and we sin, we can still confess and have our sins forgiven. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. We're not the same as we were before. We're not the same. Take your Bibles. I want to read 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 12 through 16 again. 1 Timothy chapter 1, starting in verse 12. These are the verses that Brother Mike read a few moments ago. And here's the reason I want to read these. Paul, who was Saul before he met Christ on the road to Damascus, he thought he was doing God's work by arresting Christians and putting them in prison, having them put to death. But notice here in verse 12, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Now, brothers and sisters, if God, through Christ, forgave Paul for all of the injurious things that he'd done to the church, to Christians. He can and will forgive you. You can take it to the bank. Paul truly understood the breadth. I don't think that's quite the right word, but Paul understood the grace and the mercy and the forgiveness that was shown to him because of the evil that he'd done. He was a murderer. It just says that he, stood by and held the cloaks of those who stoned Stephen, but he was there and just as guilty as the ones that threw the stones. To overcome our guilt, we must repent and confess our sins, and we must accept God's forgiveness. We must reject the devil's lies and believe the truth that we will be forgiven. And last of all, we need to stop living in the past. And brothers and sisters, that's hard. That is hard. We need to stop living in the past. Paul writes, Philippians chapter 3 and verse 13, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before." Paul had a lot in his past life, but he moved on. It says here, he says, he forgot those things that are behind. Why did he forget them? Because they had been forgiven. God is not going to remember our sin. So why should we? If we have repented and confessed of our sins, it's over and done with. Then we read in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 7, "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ." I'm confident that many people today feel just as Joseph's brothers, guilt. Many feel so guilty that they simply will not accept the forgiveness that God offers. Many people are haunted by their past, and they live in fear because of their sins. "Yes, I've asked God to forgive me, but my sin was so horrible that I just truly do not think he's going to forgive me." Then we're calling the apostles liars. And we're saying that Christ's blood is not strong enough to rid me of my sin. But you can be free from such guilt by embracing the incomprehensible love of God. Last verse, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 18 and 19. "May be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes all knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God." Brothers and sisters, let us accept God's forgiveness. Let us reject Satan's lies. And let us stop living in the past. This morning, if you're here and you're not a Christian, whatever you've done in your past, Christ can forgive. If you wish to be baptized and have your sins washed away, would you come? Or if you're here and already a child of God, but perhaps you've been living in guilt and in fear, there's no need to. If you wish to have the prayers of the saints, would you come as we stand and sing the song of invitation?
Blessing come, sinner come.